We're in the middle of a sermon series, just a series in the month of May, and we're talking about good character. We're talking about the Christian character, and today the theme is going to be keeping good company. But I want to start off by just talking about something that I think is really one of the core issues of the gospel. The greatest hope for all Christianity is the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When this statement was made, "He is not here, he is risen," those words just echoed throughout all of the generations. The resurrection of Jesus Christ not only demonstrated that he had the power to conquer death and the grave, but it also gave him it solidified the authority that he had over all things and the authority that he had to keep his promises. Everything that he said he was going to do for the disciples and everything that he said he was going to provide for the disciples was really confirmed when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, the resurrection is so vital to the gospel that it became really the core of the message of the Apostle Paul, especially when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Now, we had a whole series of sermons on the church in Corinth and on 1 Corinthians in particular, but this was a group of people who were a divided group of people. They struggled with their faith. They really did. They had a lot of issues with what it meant to be the church that God wanted. They lived in a corrupt culture. We talked about Corinth was it was a Greek colony, but it was designed to be viewed as a Roman colony, which meant that if you were in Corinth, it was as though you were in Rome. Okay, so it was a city that was just filled with all kinds of decadence. It was actually known for its drunkenness. They had a temple to the god Dionysius. If you know anything about the god Dionysius, you know that that was the god who was praised for partying. He was the drunk god, if you will, or the god of wine. But he wasn't the only one. I mean, they had the big temple in Corinth was a temple to the goddess Aphrodite, and she was supposed to be all about the god of love and pleasure and eroticism and those kinds of things. And this was the culture in which the Corinthian church lived. Paul was encouraging the Christians in Corinth to worship God and God alone. That meant that they were going to be radically different from the rest of their culture, which valued all of the Greek and the Roman gods of mythology, all of them, all 12 of the big ones, you know, the ones that were up on Mount Olympus, all of those. And so the Apostle Paul is very impassioned in the letters that he writes, especially to Corinth, but to the other areas where he celebrated. And in the middle of his impassioned message to Corinth, and I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles and want to turn to that, he's talking about how important the resurrection from the dead is, how important it is to believe that. And he goes on and on. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then even Christ has not been raised. And on he's talking about just how important this doctrine is. And in the middle of all of that discussion, in the middle of the core of the gospel, we come up with a verse that is often misrepresented. This is it. "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." All right, now be honest. How many of you have either said that or heard those words from somebody in your family who was not real happy with your choice of friends? Think about that a minute. You know, at some point, probably, possibly, somebody came up to you and said, "Yeah, you know, that friend that you're hanging out with, I don't think that that person is a good influence on you, because don't forget what the Bible says, bad company corrupts good character." But we forget about the fact that those words were set in a context. And so I need to establish that context. That context is exactly what we've been talking about. And the Apostle Paul is not the first person to quote these words or even to come up with them. He didn't even invent them. The words "bad company corrupts good character" are words that the Jews in Greek Corinth would have understood, because they were spoken 300 years earlier by a poet, a Greek poet named Menander. I hope I pronounced that right. He's the guy who was well known for all of the plays and things. He, according to some of the historical writings of that day, he had won several awards for his plays. In fact, he would be considered like our Shakespeare. All right? And there are people who are still quoting Shakespeare to this day, even though the words were written 300 and 400 years ago. But that's the kind of a guy this poet was. And so the Apostle Paul, when he dumps these words right in the middle of this discourse about the resurrection, he's not doing it haphazardly. There had to be a reason, and it was more than just, well, you know, I really don't like those guys that you're hanging out with. Because after all, bad company corrupts good character. There had to be a deeper reason, and there is. When you take a look at Paul's Paul's use, excuse me. There we go. When we take a look at those words and exactly where they are located in the Apostle Paul's message, we're finding that what Paul is talking about here is the bad company that is going to corrupt the good character is trying to do something to their faith. And this is still happening today. The bad company is trying to sway these people away from the very core of the gospel message. Now, I know when I had those words spoken to me about, you know, you better be careful about the friends that you have because bad character corrupts, or bad company corrupts good character. My parents were just concerned, you know, they didn't want me hanging around with people who were notorious drinkers or who were notorious in their use of drugs or in their foul language or something. And so they were specifically dealing with that kind of an issue. It wasn't until later that I realized that the Apostle Paul had something more important in mind than me hanging out with somebody who liked to take a drink from time to time. What the Apostle Paul was concerned about was the core of the gospel message. Paul used these words because he knew that bad company could corrupt those who are trying desperately to hang on to the gospel of Christ. And this is still happening today. Many people are teaching that there is no resurrection from the dead, that it can't happen, that it is scientifically impossible. The dead do not raise back to life. And there are lots of people who believe that Jesus is just a myth, that he's just a legend, that there is absolutely no truth to this concept or this whole idea of Easter and the resurrection, that it's just a fable, that it's just fictional. Except that goes completely against the very core of the gospel message. Oh, thanks, Bob. And the reason that Paul says that is because he does not want them to be deceived. Now, in some translations, it says, do not be misled. Your friendships are powerful. The people that you hang out with are a powerful influence on you. And we know that. We know that they are an important, powerful influence on our lives. But the Apostle Paul says, you got to be careful. They can either strengthen your faith or they can tear your faith down. Now, they might not do it intentionally, but your friends may not have any passion for Jesus, one way or the other. They're not trying to drag you away. It just doesn't mean anything to them to be a Christian. And so instead of going to church, instead of connecting with Bible reading, instead of studying the Bible, instead of listening to gospel music, or instead of doing those things that are going to help you remember the core of your gospel, which for Paul is the resurrection, instead of doing those things, they've got all kinds of other things that they can do. They don't need to be cussing and swearing and drinking and smoking and doing drugs and all of those other nasty... All they need to do is take you away from the core of the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul is so concerned about. Do not be deceived. Your friendships are powerful. And the Apostle Peter, later in his gospel, he says that this is true because we need to be alert and we need to be of sober mind because the devil is like a lion. He's prowling around waiting to devour something. And we all know that lions are not going to devour the mature and the healthy adults. They're going to devour the weak and the young, the sick. Why? Because they can. And that's exactly what Satan does. If you have a weak faith, he's going to go after you because he knows he's probably going to get you. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to go after you if you have a stronger faith, but if you think about it, why would he go after the mature and the healthy and those that have been surrounded by other Christians? It's a losing battle. So the Apostle Peter talks about exactly how important this character is because Satan is going to corrupt good character by putting bad people in our path, bad company, as he calls them. Building godly character is tough enough, but it's even tougher if we don't surround ourselves with people of good company. And that just doesn't mean that they follow or they toe the line that we have invented, some sort of moral code that we think is the best thing. What makes a person good company is their faith. Do they believe in the resurrection? Because he has just gotten done talking about how important the resurrection is. In case you think that this is just a modern issue or an issue that the Apostle Paul is dealing with, you actually have to realize that this has been an issue since basically the beginning of time. When God freed the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, what did he tell them to do? He told them to separate themselves from all of the other countries because those countries he was going to punish, and he was going to use the Israelites to punish those nations, and they were going to be destroyed for their paganism and their lack of faith. Except that the Israelites didn't do it. They intermarried with the people that they weren't supposed to intermarry with. They worshiped the gods that they weren't supposed to worship. In fact, this happened not much longer after they got freed from Egyptian slavery, all the way through, even the judges and into the kings and all of that. They were constantly making treaties that they weren't supposed to make, constantly worshiping not only the God of creation, but every other pagan god that was around, as though it was sort of like, well, let's just cover our bases, okay? We'll just worship everything. This caused all kinds of problems. And God had to punish the people. And it didn't just end just because of that 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. In fact, the church began in a world of corruption. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 40, you'll see that on the day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching the gospel message, and he's talking about how they had killed Jesus, but God had raised him from the dead. Again, there's that resurrection, the very core of the gospel message. And when he gets to the end, he says, because they ask, you know, what must we do? And he tells them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Why? Because bad character, bad company corrupts good character. So we may have to surround ourselves with good people. How many people were baptized on that day? 3,000. 3,000. And then in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul urges the believers to live holy lives and to be separate from the world. We cannot do that if we are surrounding ourselves by bad company. And again, bad company does not just mean those moral things that we think that they are doing that is outside of our limits. Bad company are those people who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They don't believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. They don't believe in the core of the gospel. That's what determines if they are good or bad character, good or bad company. And God is concerned with that. Paul even urged the believers in Ephesus to live as children of light and not have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of the darkness. For it is shameful in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. In other words, bad company corrupts good character. God is really concerned about this. He wants us to have good friends. In fact, he even gave us the definition of what a friend is. We read about it in John chapter 15. Jesus said, "You are my friend if you do what I command." It's pretty simple. And then he goes on to tell us what that command is. Do you remember it? Love one another as I have loved you. Pretty simple. Maybe not so much. Because it's easier to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, than it is to actually do it. Because that means that we may have to give up some of those areas, some of those moral failings that we have embraced in our own life. You see, the love that God wants us to have has been encouraged forever. Wisest man to ever live, Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Even there, it's talking about how important it is that we surround ourselves with people who are going to encourage us in the most important part of the gospel. I just think that it's important for us to realize that building godly character is not something that we can do by ourselves. It is something that we need assistance in doing. It is something that we need help with. We need to seek out those kinds of friends that are going to value the resurrection. We need to seek out those kinds of good company who are going to love God's church and love God's people and reflect the love of God in their actions and in their attitudes, who are going to maybe even hold us accountable to growing in holiness and growing in the core of the gospel message, who are going to help us align our will with the will of God. They are not going to be mediocre in their faith. They are not going to be lukewarm in their passions for Christ. Those are the people that we need to surround ourselves with. Where do we find those people? It's getting harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder. But the Bible is very clear. We need to seek wisdom. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So we need to surround ourselves with those wise, godly people. If I were to ask you to think for a moment of the person that you have had in your influence, in your realm of influence, whether it's a friend or a relative or somebody that you know or somebody that you've heard of or somebody who, a podcast or a speaking engagement or something. But think about that person that you would say, wow, now that is a Christian person. By all of the definitions given from Scripture, they love others, they love the Lord their God, they are forgiving, they are caring, they are generous, they display the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control, and they display humility, and they understand what it means to belong to the body of Christ, what it means to believe in the resurrection. Think of those people, because they are out there. Are those the kind of people that you're surrounding yourself with? Because good company is going to increase good character. Your best friends should be those who are going to help you stand firm in your faith. That's biblical. That's not just coming from me. Your best friends should be those who are going to encourage your faith and encourage your understanding of the core of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it may be hard to find them because there are fewer and fewer people who are passionate about Jesus in this world. More people are busy demanding their rights and demanding what they think is owed to them. More people are concerned about the politics or the wars or the socioeconomic issues. More people are concerned about the things of this world than they are about the things of Christ. So yeah, it's hard. But it's not impossible. God values the resurrection. He wants his disciples to value the resurrection. And he wants us to know that if we're going to build the character that he wants, we need to have good company encouraging us and surrounding us so that we can demonstrate the power of the gospel message. We need a good community of believers to help us build our character.